Mike O'Mara Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of the Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store, and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
There we are. Everything working fine. It's better. Great to be with you on Monday with the Mike O'Mara Show. Hello, hello, hello.
Hello.
In just a couple of seconds here, we're going to be joined by Billy Gardell. You might remember him from Mike and Molly. Billy is going to be appearing this Friday night at Dover Downs Hotel and Casino in Dover, Delaware at 9 p.m. Tickets are available at DoverDowns.com, and we always love to talk to TV people, especially stand-up comedians, especially people that have been, you know, in all sorts of different stuff, and it'll be fun talking to Billy Gardell. Very, very funny gentleman. Welcome, welcome. It's good to have everybody here. After the sick weekend at my house, I am here to tell
you. Who was sick besides you? Was it just
Carla
you?
Carla had a little bit of it. My son had a little bit of it. I had a lot of it, and I am really, really psyched.
Is it the flu?
No, because I have the 2-day cold.
Okay.
On Saturday, I was, does that mean we got him? Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll tell you all about my illness later, but before we do that, let me turn that off. Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome a very funny gentleman, Billy Gardell, who is joining us now. Billy's going to be at Dover Downs this weekend, 9 p.m. Friday night. Billy, thanks for coming on the show.
Hey, thanks a lot, man. I hear the Mike and Molly theme in the back there. Thank you.
That's because my producer, Rob Spiewak, has an encyclopedic knowledge of pop culture, and he gets that stuff on there. And that's your ticket. You're now actually the third richest man in America because that that show is in syndication, correct? Can I, you know, Billy, I really
wish that was true. You know, I really, really would. If it was under SAG union contracts, maybe. AFTRA, I'm still doing shows.
Oh, really? So here's the thing, and I, you don't have to talk about it because, you know, the way I was raised, not polite to talk about money, but I kind of obsess on money, especially this time of the month when the checking account goes bare. I have to tell you that one. Trying to pay all my bills. But the way I get it, and you can enlighten me because I've never had a sitcom. I've been an extra. That's it. You know, we've done the DJ tour. Thanks, Rob. Thanks for the applause. I appreciate that. I've gone out to, I had a taste of it, and I always thought it'd be kind of fun to do that. But I always thought that syndication, like you get that magic number, and then that's a very good thing. Some of that is true. Please, God, tell me that's true, Billy.
Yes, I would say some of that is very true. And, you know, once you get the syndication, that is that rare air where you're the family dinner hour or you're from 11 to 12 at night or both. And sometimes you get those double runs like that. And syndication, probably, I would say 10 years ago, when that hit SAG, you're pretty much retired if you wanted to be. Now, I would never complain about a residual that's come in, but it's about a third of what that was.
Really?
Oh, God. All right.
Under
AFTRA.
Yeah, it's about a, maybe a quarter. Maybe a quarter of what that was.
Who's getting the money then?
Well, I don't know. They've just got different contracts, and AFTRA's contracts have changed things. When SAG and AFTRA merged, it went from film to video, and when the two unions merged, the money that was kept by the studios, the pay grade was by AFTRA instead of SAG.
Wow.
So it's a little, but it's still nothing you can complain about. I mean, you get money in the mail, it's free mail money. You haven't done
well, it's not. No, here
you
it is.
Done anything. You walk out, you get a check, and you go, my God, how blessed am I? You know, who
that's
are you
true.
Bitch to?
And you know what? You don't need to bitch. I'll do all the bitching for you, Billy.
I'm starting to hear that. I get that. I got that.
Well, Billy, I'm doing, for Christ's sake, I'm doing a podcast here. here. You know, I was the top of my game,
you know,
in radio.
I don't know what to tell you. Tell some more jokes. Why are you angry at me?
I just, once again, the bastards, the people with the most toys always win. Yeah. And you're saying, you know, hey, you feel like you're blessed. You're blessed. You know what we're blessed with? Billy Gardell. What? To have your talent on Mike and Molly.
Yes.
That 20 years after you're dead and buried, people are still going to be laughing at that. That's the gift.
That's
not
a gift.
Some suit in Hollywood that's out there that's, you know, dicking around there going, yeah, how can we screw him out of some extra residuals? Anyway, but I'll stop. I'll behave myself.
I think they all actually talk like that, too. I got very, very, very lucky, man. You know, I grinded as a comic from 1987 till about 1997. Then I moved to Hollywood, and I got my break in 2006. So, I mean, I put my time in. My manager said, you know, you've been doing it long enough when even the bitter comics are rooting for you. So that was cool.
And, that's awesome. That is funny.
You know, man, it was a short window, and it opened, and I was very, very blessed, and now I get to do some cool stuff because of it. And I tell you, I'm an idiot with money. And so what I did so that I didn't end up, you know, back in an apartment in Burbank going, what happened? What I did was I gave my wife every paycheck. I gave her every paycheck that came, you know, and my wife's got a banking background, and, you know, she was she worked for a bank back east before we met, and smart girl. And what I did was I said, I want $450 a week cash in my hand every mm-hmm. Friday, just like a paycheck, and you okay. take the Mike and Molly money and put it where it's supposed to be. And because of that, we have a house and a retirement fund and my kids' college, and, you know, she did all the awesome. Responsible things. Because I would have came home with, like, a hot air balloon and a dolphin. Like, I have no... I'm serious. Like, I have no... I'll drop $300 at a 7-Eleven. I have no sense at all. So Billy, that's what we did, and because of her, you know, we're doing okay.
Billy, here's the cool thing. I did the exact same thing you did, only... I've been married 3 times, and that's the, see, I mean, that what
well,
that
you gave
strategy,
your wife the paycheck after the divorce.
Oh, that's how it
that's
works.
That's the problem. Yeah.
Let's
no.
see, man, what's the common denominator in all 3 of those marriages?
That's very cruel. You know, we don't, Billy, I feel like we know each other.
I mean,
it's,
you know, we can't go into recovery until we look at the problem. And that's how we heal.
We are talking to Billy Gardell. Billy will be at Dover Downs Hotel and Casino in Dover, Delaware, 9 p.m. Now, you talk about money. You get $450.
You guys are great this morning, by the way. I call a lot of duds. You guys are great.
Thank well, we you. Have fun. We have fun, and we're always pissed. That's the way it goes.
I can tell.
You know, when you do you
well,
have,
you know what, though? There's a difference between funny and then there's, like, hate-driven radio, which yes. no one wants to listen to, and I don't know how it got popular, and it's just refreshing.
You know, the thing is, when you get... I'm 58 years old, so I'm about 10 years older than you are, and the fact is that when you... You know, I've changed, but I have changed for... I'm probably still angry, but I'm a mellower kind of sillier angry.
Sweeter anger.
I just think anger. There's a way to be funny, man, without... You know, my grandfather used to always say, the truth without love is abuse. You know, and he'd say, keep that mind in your humor. The truth without love is abuse, you know? And that's what, you know, people, they love to wear that like a badge, you know?
I know.
I'm just telling you the truth. Yeah. I mean, I know it's crippling you and making you want to get fatter, but I'm just telling you the truth. You know what? He's up on your truth, man. Can we just watch the ball game?
Yeah. How did you enjoy the Super Bowl? I know you're a big football fan. I know you're a Steelers fan.
With great joy in my heart. My favorite moment was seeing that spoiled brat cheater of a child sitting on his ass around the 20-yard line. There was nothing. That's right up there with any football picture I've ever seen in my life that inspired me.
You know, it's funny because you don't think the Steelers will actually have the camaraderie with the Eagles, but the hatred for Tom Brady comes through all that. That's a wonderful, it's a beautiful
thing. You know,
we never really
had a problem with the Eagles. You know, they're NFC, they're in another conference. The only time we're ever going to really see them is if it's in the Super Bowl, you know. And people kept asking me when I was doing interviews on the radio, they were like, hey, and I did a thing for ESPN. They were like, well, how can you root for the Eagles if you're a Steelers fan? And I'm like, I go, they don't bother us. I go, it's like having a cousin that got a lot of DUIs and then finally straightened his life out. You got to show up when they do something good.
I mean, that's a beautiful take on the relationship. Does it go, do you also
Plus,
go into
there was
the-
no way, there was no way after we've been mauled by Brady as many times as we had, you know, fair and unfair, and then Harrison going to the Patriots. Like, there's no way we could have rooted for them. I didn't even root for them to win the coin toss. I can't.
Well, you're
I
the
hate
majority.
That whole organization. I really do.
Yeah, I do too. I do.
Bob Kraft, hey, how are you? Rob, I know you're chomping at the bit to ask Billy a question.
Yeah,
go ahead, Rob Spiewak.
We all loved you in Mike and Molly, but I think my favorite thing you've ever done was Sun Records. You played one of the great villains
God bless you, man.
Of all
Thank
time.
You for watching that.
Oh, I watched every episode twice.
I thought that could have been a great, great show. CMT did a miniseries, Sun Records, which was, of course, about the beginning of Sun Studios in Memphis and what a visionary Sam Phillips was to bring in and cross color lines and sounds and just combine everything to make, you know, the first sounds of rock and roll. In your business, Porky Sedgwick is the big DJ who gets, or no, it was Alan Freed.
Right.
Freed was the one. Freed gets credit for coining rock and roll, which rock and roll, by the way, is a phrase that came from down south, from the rocking of the cradle to the rolling of the grave. That's where rock and roll came from, or to
That's
the rolling
cool.
of the hearse.
I, have never,
the
I
cradle,
swear to God, I've
rolling
never heard
of the
that.
Hearse.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
Yeah, so rocking of the cradle to rolling of the hearse, that's where rock and roll came from. But the guy who put it on was Dewey Phillips.
Yeah.
Dewey Phillips was the guy, and Freed got, you know, he got all the credit for it because it was more Metropolis up north and the press was bigger. But Dewey Phillips was the guy that was putting on rock and roll before anybody right there in Memphis. And that was Elvis and Jerry Lee Lewis. And he was playing B.B. King when no one knew who he was, and the Bebop Boys. And this great tapestry of music was all through the South. And we got the film there. And I got to play Colonel Parker. And I thought this show was so brilliantly done, and it was Roland Joffe, who directed it, made me a better actor while I was there. And this thing looked so beautiful and so well done. And then I think CMT looked at the price tag and said, you know, we should probably go back to those shows where people catch the fish with their arms.
Yeah, one of the questions I wanted to ask is the period flavor was so strong. It really did look like it was 1954. What was it like when you first walked onto that set and you had set the clock back 60 years?
Well, it was wild, man. My dad is like a huge Elvis fan. When I got Mike and Molly, the third year, me and my wife decided, okay, we're going to take everybody for bucket list, the parents. And both our parents are divorced and remarried, so we thought, okay, a lot of trips, but we're going to take them all. My mom wanted to go to Las Vegas and be treated to the top of the nines. Her parents wanted to go to Hawaii. We did that. My dad wanted to go to Graceland.
There you go.
That was his bucket list. Like when Elvis died, my father called in to work sick for 3 days. So the fact I got to play Colonel Parker was insane, and I already knew a whole bunch of that history because of my father. So when I... You know, when Memphis really opened its arms to us, man, they shut down streets and brought out cars from, you know, 1950 to 1954. And the high belts that the men wore and the plaid dresses with the women and the hats and the purses. And everybody was smoking. And the little kids on the wooden scooters. And, man, it was literally wow. A block at a time. We were literally transformed back. And the city was unbelievable.
I just applaud you.
Let me just get the plug in again because I want to make we only have Billy for a short time. I want to make sure that you go see Billy this Friday night, Dover Downs Hotel and Casino. Billy Gardell at DoverDowns.com. That's where you get your tickets. Anything you want to find out about Billy's stand up, it's BillyGardell.com. And I guess any other projects that you're into, would that be BillyGardell.com? Is that where you find that?
Yeah, and I'm working right now on, I'm doing my second episode of Young Sheldon. They brought me in to play, my old boss Chuck Lorre from Mike and Molly was kind enough to bring me in to play one of the kids' fathers, the bully kid's father on Young Sheldon. So I've been having a blast playing kind of a goofy redneck, and that's been fun.
Yeah, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, and then I'm in pilot season for the first time in 8 years, so I'm testing the waters to see what's out there.
That's awesome. Cool. I Oscar, just let me get this in because we got him, and then I'll let you do that. I had to ask you about one of my all-time heroes, George Carlin. You know, being my age, and that you know, you opened for George Carlin, and just to be in that rarefied air, just hanging out and watching him every night and opening for him, that just had did that influence your stand-up at all? I would imagine working with Carlin.
He influenced my stand-up from the time I was stealing my dad's records and listening to him when nobody was around, just to get to hear something that I thought was so spectacularly rebellious, and the way he talked and the language and the way he could be melodic and funny and cutting and biting. But I only opened for him one night, and it was a freak thing because his opening act got sick, food poisoning, and through some friends at the local comedy club, I was able to land 15 minutes in front of George Carlin one night. And I went over there with my little ragtag notebook and went out there and gave it my best. And I'd only been doing it about 4 years. And, I did okay. And then, as soon as the show was over, I ran, up to the back of the theater so I could watch him do an hour and 20 minutes of just unbelievable killing. Just material that was just polished perfect and just to the point and beautiful. And then I went backstage afterwards, and he was very, very kind. And I said, can you give me any advice? He said, always write about what's going on in your life so that you continually evolve and you continually change. And I said, okay, but what if nothing's going on in my life? And he goes, well, get busy living.
God, I'd give that advice to radio people too. I would. That's Oscar. Really, you have cool one for Billy Gardell. Yeah,
yes, just briefly. You talk about bucket list. $300 at a 7-Eleven is something that I've always dreamed of. Because when I go there, I know I'll get two taquitos, but like, my friend, get one more for three for $3. What else can we get? Tell me.
Oh man, you gotta get involved in the scratchers. You gotta get involved in the magazine rack. There's a whole bunch of stuff. There's a lot of shopping to be done at a 7-Eleven. A lot of people don't know that.
Billy Gardell, if you ever, we love talking to you and having these little interviews, but if you ever get into DC and you want to come and hang and panel for a whole show, good hour, and we have a good time. We wish you the very, very best.
I can tell that, and I absolutely will, man. In fact, I think I have a gig in D.C. in the fall, so when I do, I'd love to knock on your door and come in.
That'd be awesome.
We're just up the street from all the theaters on Wisconsin Avenue. Come and join us. Billy Gardell, good luck to everything you do, and thanks so much for coming on the Mike O'Mara Show. Okay.
Thank you for your time this morning.
Take care.
Have fun.
That's Billy Gardell, everybody. Billy's going to be Friday night, Dover Downs Hotel and Casino, 9 p.m. Tickets available at DoverDowns.com. And what a nice complimentary gentleman.
Good guy.
Made me feel good about what we do. Funny. After we had a false start with technical issues and all that.
It's great to know that we are not duds.
isn't that wonderful?
And technically, Mike, we always say we're a podcast because we are, but we're also on the radio.
That's true.
We're also on the radio. Yes. Thank you, 97. Won the wave down in Ocean City, and also our good friends out of KCJJ and Steve Bridges, who is continuing to do that morning show into his 90s, which is extremely special. And I'm very happy for that. We have to take a break. We do have to start the show. It was the Sick House weekend.
Ugh.
I am being a true professional. I am hitting my absolute best feeling stage of the weekend as the week begins. Isn't that fun? We'll be right back, everybody. Thank you very much.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Company, halt!
Hold my mount. Fat, disgusting slop.
You're a goddamn disgrace!
A vicious mother, isn't he?
Yeah.
He can't do that to our pledges. Only we can do that to our pledges.
Redo those buttons! Dress that belt buckle! Straighten that cap! And goddammit, tuck up those pajamas! Attention! Eyes front!
What's that on your chest, mister?
It's a pledge pin, sir.
A pledge pin?! On your uniform!
Just tell me, mister, what fraternity would pledge a man like you?
It's a Delta pin, sir.
You'll report to the stable tonight and every night at 1900 hours. And without that pledge pin! Do you understand? You're all worthless and weak. Drop and give me 20.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Kick back and race, the 10 turn.
Always try to hit through the ball.
Whoa, big time. Whoa, whoa.
Dragged away in his
horse. I gotta work on my game. No, 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 no. Don't think of it as work. The whole point is just to enjoy yourself.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his office chair, here's Mike.
We are live from the Piper Studios in our nation's capital. This is the Mike O'Mara Show. The Mike O'Mara Show is a worldwide podcast and radio show with loyal listeners who get it. If you're here, you're in the know. We are on air, on demand, and heard 24/7 on the new TMOS app. Update it now and get our show all day, every day. You can reach us at 888-920-MORE. That's 888-920-6673. The Mike O'Mara Show is on now, and we are brought to you today by Cornerstone First Financial. We love Cornerstone. You will, too. You know, something was bad about to happen. You knew it was going to happen, right? But you could protect yourself, and if you could do it, you'd do it, right?
Right.
Let me start that again. If you knew something bad was about to happen, but you could protect yourself, you'd do it, right?
Right.
Right.
Would you, right?
Right. Right. It's good, right?
Of course you would.
Right.
Well, it looks like the Fed is going to raise rates three times this year, so protect yourself today by going to Cornerstone First Financial and locking in your rate now. Not only do these guys know their stuff, they genuinely care about you. They know that it's your money on the line, and they will give you the personal attention you require to get the best deal possible. Whether it's a refi or getting pre-approved to buy a home, Cornerstone First Financial will advise you and take care of you. We know these guys. They have Oscar's thumbs-up recommendation.
Yes, and, on everything.
Not everything. Plan ahead. Protect yourself. Click their banner on our website or call Cornerstone First Financial at 202-625-1221. Mention TMOS and receive a free appraisal at closing. That's cornerstonefirst.com/TMOS or call 202-625-1221. Personal attention from application to closing. Licensed in Maryland, D.C., Virginia, and Florida. Do it right. Do it now with Cornerstone First Financial. Yeah, Thursday night. Started to get the first inklings of a little head cold.
What were your symptoms? Was it sniffles? Was it throat?
Just a congestion, okay. Primarily.
Fever.
And scratchy throat.
Yeah.
And then it was one of those wonderful times. At least I'm going knock on wood right now that the it hit me like a freight train right after the show on Friday into Saturday. I just sat in a chair all day long. Not really much unlike what I do. Normal days, but no.
Just like Mr. Potter.
There's a Mr. Potter.
You're rested.
Push me up. Push me up. And then Sunday was the first part of Sunday was really bad. And then last night I was just sitting there. How long is this going to last? And then woke up this morning and felt like I turned a corner. And let me tell you what that corner is. That corner is that I'm coming in here and I know that I have to talk to you people. I know that I have to talk to you people. And my body manufactures this immunodefense system that provides me with energy and adrenaline to come in here and do a show for you. And yes, sometimes I talk a little too much, Kiki K. I understand
what?
That, okay?
Whoa,
I understand you have an issue with
Kiki
that.
K.
Okay, yeah, your pal, Rob.
No,
your,
not
your
my pal.
Buddy.
Maybe hey, hey.
Your pal.
You better relax on that, pal. Not my
All
buddy.
I know is she said something
What'd
snarky
she say?
About when Tony was on. But I guess maybe I talked too much. I don't
it's
know.
Your show. It's called the Michael Myers Show.
No, but she said that.
Maybe she should talk some more and do
I'm
a little
sure.
less.
It was cryptic.
What?
It was cryptic, and I read it in as paranoid a way as I could, like I'm always want to do, and that was it. So
she's
anyway,
an opinionated woman.
Is she? I
yes.
don't know.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
Oh,
very
yeah.
active. Well, know, that's why you hear the name a lot.
Is it a radio thing that I think you feel the same way, feel it a victory when you can kick a sickness over the weekend? Because then you
yes.
don't want to miss the show. It's great, right?
That's probably anybody that's working in any job. If you feel better, and I don't know whether the adrenaline plays into it or
I think it does.
I think it does yeah. to a certain extent.
Yes.
Right, Oscar?
I feel like...
how are you doing?
I feel like you know, there's a scene in Cocoon 2 where they realize that it just isn't working anymore.
Right.
Like whatever.
You mean the plot device?
It's not about them getting younger anymore. It's about them getting the aliens back to space. Okay. Right?
Is Brian Dennehy in that still?
I'm not sure.
I don't even remember a Cocoon 2.
But
do
there
you?
Is a Cocoon 2.
No.
There is. Really? Right? Yeah. There is.
Dose.
And Dose.
You know it had Gutenberg in it.
Of course.
Gutenberg would have to be in it.
Yeah. He showed up just
Steve
for the food.
Gutenberg.
The Goot. They call him the Goot.
I think he was a star for a good 10 years when I was a kid, Steve Gutenberg.
Still a star.
And talk about the lucky stick by getting getting Cocoon in a short circuit.
Was he in that?
Johnny Five.
And Johnny Five.
Yeah, well, you know where his check was. All the money came from Police
he
Academy.
He did four short circuits, Police Academy, and Cocoon.
Yeah, and wasn't he one of the dads in the Two and a Half Dads movie or whatever?
Oh, my gosh.
Three Men and a Baby.
Yes. Three Men and a Baby, yeah. Two and a Half Babies, I think
Whoa.
It was called.
Whoa.
Yeah,
he should have AIDS. That's the 80s.
What?
That's a lot of sex. Oh, some yeah. sex.
Did you say he should definitely have AIDS?
Yeah.
I don't even know what button to hit for that.
What point were you trying to make on your muscle relaxers?
There's so much sex, unprotected sex to be had in the 80s.
Yeah, him and Tom Selleck.
And nobody was, it wasn't a gay thing. It's just the fact that.
I probably tried it.
It's just the fact that if you're that famous, you have some social disease for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
I never had a social disease during the 80s.
Yeah, but you weren't that famous.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, I didn't have that much sex.
No, your golden age was the 80s. That was the morning
zoo
days. Yeah.
The late 80s.
He was married three times.
Well, not in the 80s, though.
Not all the 80s. And I don't know. When I talk about the 80s, I just think of the speed of light that we were all moving at and DJ conventions and DJs getting in trouble. And just it was insane.
It wasn't exactly the era of the Me Too movement, was it?
What do you think we're going to think about when we look back on this era? Will we look back on this era as the what will it be? What will
the defining
feel,
the defining moments of this
will
era?
Will be anxiety? Will it be
technology.
The lack of civility?
Technology.
Or?
No, I think technology
politics.
Is
selfish technology.
That's more 5 years ago, I think. Because what advances have we really made? I mean, social media is the same as it was 5 years ago.
Everyone in their hands, especially now in an affordable manner, have a computer in their hands that allow them to spew or give or share or be selfish. That's what they have.
But I think that existed a few years ago, though. I think now is more anxious.
But a few years ago, yes. But and I remember because I remember watching younger women come into my bar with texting. That's what came into its own that many years ago. What Oscar's talking about, though, is now it's not just texting. What it is just occupying their minds
constant,
with that little device in front of them. And it has created, I think, a more selfish world that we live in. And then when we do have interpersonal communication, it's much more judgmental. It's much faster. It's much harsher. And it's kind of a different world that we live in. But
you said something, though, that I think you were onto something. You said anxious and anxiety, and maybe they're related because of the immediate connection to news and bad news and stuff like that.
When you're not married and you find out someone got married on Instagram that's younger than you, and your wife is your soon-to-be wife is looking at you and be like, hey, why did this engagement take 5 years?
Yeah.
I mean, that really, you never used to get any of that. You maybe get that at a
difficult.
Cocktail party and be like,
it's
oh, I didn't know I got married.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, you know right away. If someone buys a house, if they got a better job, if they had a kid, they're having their second kid. Like,
so
I'm happy
you're saying
for all of that.
The anxiety is being caused by people sharing good news.
What happens in my house, I can just give you my perspective, right? Is I don't get on Instagram as much as my wife does, but she will say, did you know so-and-so's having their second baby? Did you know so-and-so they're moving out of the city? Did you know so? Like all these cues that you would get maybe once in a while at a social gathering. But you get them every morning and day. And she's not doing it on purpose. She's showing me beautiful pictures, sonograms, houses with land, all this stuff. I sit there and I'm like, look, I get it, lady. I got a bad back. Give me two more weeks. I'll start humping away at it again. Let's figure that out.
Yeah, well, you know, it's the same way I feel with my own family, you know, and when all my cousins up in Maine are exchanging emails about our house up there. And,
yeah.
One of my cousins says to my sister, have a good time in France. And I don't even know she's going. Yes, sirree. So that's the way it works in my world. You
well,
know,
it's just man. Like, yeah, France is lovely. It is. If she applies herself, she'll figure out a way to have a good time.
Isn't that wonderful?
It
isn't that good?
I don't
know. I wonder what, you know, you do look back at the 80s as being party central, kind of the run-up. Wasn't that the run-up to the big bust that we had?
I believe so.
These are tougher times. We are filled with anxiety. Mm-hmm. It is the, I'll tell you one thing. It is a good time. Don't you think it's a good time to be super rich?
Oh, it'd be a great, Mike, it's always a good time to be super rich.
They have a local TV station down here that's running tonight. They've been promoing, because I watched a little bit of the Olympics. We'll get to that later. They're doing a whole thing about super wealthy houses down here. And I don't know if it's got an editorial point of view, because if it's going to be an editorial point of view, the only time I want to watch a news story like that is a super wealthy houses of the rich. Why they're horrible people. That's it. Yeah. That would be. Yeah. Otherwise, I'm not interested in watching it. Otherwise, I have no interest
they have
in watching it.
A similar
it
show here, Mike, that comes on like at 3 a.m.
Yes.
I guess that's when they buy their slots.
Right.
And whoever buys them is an idiot, because, I mean, unless some hammered billionaire is just sitting there being like, yeah, I want to pick that up.
Whether selling real estate, expensive real estate.
Yeah, I'm talking like multi-million dollar real estate.
I would like to go back to your story, and it would be great if there was like a chroma key thing behind it that just said, rich people are a-holes.
Oh, but the thing is, the only tell that they give during this promo is, and some of the neighborhoods that they're building these homes in might surprise you. Now, that's the first tell that says, you know, what they're doing is they're building a 30,000 square foot house and they're murdering the family next door. That's it. then it's piqued my interest,
but,
you know?
That's
piqued my curiosity.
That's when you see an episode on Vice on HBO where one of the richest men in the world didn't just build a house. He built a building that's his house. Like a tower, right?
A tower. Down here, they will tear down a $15 million mansion to build, well, this was 10 years ago, a 30. Now it should probably be like, they have, I brought that magazine in one day, right?
Yes.
Where I showed you the $60 million house. $60 million!
Yeah.
It's time to get the pitchforks.
Yeah, and the torches. Let's go.
Yes.
Come on.
Go down there and go. It's just like, you know, where they're sitting there and they're, you know, get me some light piano music in the background, because I do a little playlist about what that might be like, where they're having dinner. They're having a candlelit dinner and they're just sitting there going, yeah, so would you pass the... Yes, would you pass the asparagus? What a wonderful asparagus. Yes, I get it from a small village, yes, in the south of France. It's my delicious imported asparagus. This is one. Oh, this is the greatest truffle pasta appetizer. That is so great. What's that? I heard something out the window. What's outside of the window? Open the window up, will you please? Open the window.
Standing out there with torches, how did they get through the gate?
The gate to the tower.
That's just a fantasy of mine. I'm sorry.
You'd be the head of the bunch.
My sister called me this past weekend as
she's going to Paris.
No, she's just checking and making sure that I'm alive.
Good.
And she said my little niece Sophia couldn't go. Well, was bummed out that she couldn't go to the father daughter dance at their school.
Right.
Because shocker, my father, her father is working. He's at the hospital.
The medical thing.
He's saving lives. Paying the bills.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would say.
You call it paying the bills, I call it saving lives.
Saving lives, yes. So,
take your time, Oscar.
She's bummed out.
Hey, when he was at the hospital, did he prescribe
any
downers?
A sip of a martini right there.
Would you rather be called out? I get yelled at for that as well, all right? Jesus Christ. Listen. She has, I'm trying to put this delicately. They have a friend who owns a car rental enterprise.
Like, okay.
Not just one, but all of them.
Okay.
Right?
A chain.
Pull one out.
Yes.
All right, go ahead.
It's a dart in your neck.
So he offers to take her with her other daughter, who are friends.
Right.
So, which is sweet, right? She gets picked up in a Ferrari to go to the house to meet the daughter. And then in turn, they take an SUV Ferrari, which I knew they made, but I've never really seen.
SUV Ferrari?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So because there isn't enough room for in a regular Ferrari, you got to take the SUV Ferrari.
There's an SUV Ferrari?
Google it. Yep. I'm blown away. It's just nuts. So
looking at that right
I'm
now.
Looking at these pictures.
Is it as nice as a Kia Sorento?
Better.
And my niece gets on the phone because she's so excited.
Sure.
And I said, look, this is Disneyland. Like, what's happening right now?
Ain't real.
It's not real, right? Like, you don't get picked up in one Ferrari and then driven in another Ferrari.
To another Ferrari. Yes. Yeah.
It's a two-door, but it is an SUV Ferrari.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, my God.
And are you thinking the Lamborghini?
Again, I don't know enough about it. I got a bunch of pictures of cars I'll never afford, I'll never see in my life.
Just the notion of that gives me the sickness.
Yeah. So I sit there and
no, there's a four-door too. I'm looking, or maybe it's a prototype.
I don't know.
That's the upsell. You go in looking for a two-door SUV, but they'll upsell you to the four.
Now, she is 8 years old. 8 years old, right?
No, they say
right.
They'll make an SUV. They haven't made it yet, so it must have been
a Lamborghini. The Lamborghini RS.
It could be the Lamborghini RS, then.
It or could it could be a Jag. It could be
no.
Or a Porsche.
I got a picture Ford. Right here. I'll show you in a second. So right. I tell my sister, I was like, how do you keep them grounded?
Right.
If their father's at work saving babies, and the audible is like, hey, maybe not go to this party because, you know, I'm not going with dad.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to go with my friend's dad now, but I'm going with my friend's dad and two Ferraris.
Right.
And like, it's just, I don't know in the society if you live in that world, even if you're close to that world or you can touch that world, how you keep someone grounded. Like, how is that even possible?
Right. Right? Exactly. Right.
And my sister says, I beat him. And then I said, all right.
That's nice. Horrible.
That is horrible. On that note, that was a long way to go, but it was a payoff. It was a payoff. By the way, they're going to make one. It's coming, I think, in 2019. And, you know, the guy that runs Ferrari, who is named Marcione, he says, it'll look like whatever a Ferrari utility vehicle needed to be. That's it. The rent stays the same as before. That's it. So that's
the payment stays the same as before.
Speaking of wealth, this seems to be a theme of today's show. You know, I'm a big golf fan on television.
Yeah.
And I'd like to come by and talk a bit about the AT&T Pro-Am, which used to be fun to watch pro golfers and celebrities.
That's the old they Crosby, right?
Yeah, the old Crosby tournament. Yeah. They changed it. I'll talk all about that
good.
When we come back. Been a more chance to rail against people with money. Ding. Thank you. We'll be right back.
When I first discovered the free Mike O'Mara Show podcast, I was in intensive care, crippled with parasites. But Mike, Rob, and Oscar inspired me. I knew if I was going to stop my parasites, I had to stop being a parasite. I ordered the bonus show. As soon as I downloaded the first show, my guinea worms were more like gonny worms. After three shows, I told my screw worms to screw off. By show number 10, my fliarial worms said, so long, scrotum, and I owe it all to the TMOS bonus package. Results not typical. The TMOS bonus package is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
author.
Alan Gygax. Thank you, Alan. Keep them coming.
Done.
Alan.
Fantastic. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Every time Carla cooks up some delicious food from Blue Apron, everybody is happy. It's fun and easy for her. It's yummy for me. And the most amazing variety, it is the better way to cook.
Yes.
They even have vegetarian options. I love my Blue Apron. Blue Apron delivers fresh, pre-proportioned ingredients and step-by-step recipes right to your door that can be cooked in under 45 minutes. The menu changes every week based on what's in season and is designed by Blue Apron's in-house culinary team. Plus, Blue Apron sends only non-GMO ingredients and meat with no added hormones. How'd you like some strip steak and potatoes with spicy maple collard greens?
Mm.
Or soy-glazed Korean rice cakes with broccoli and soft-boiled eggs? You know you want it. It's the best food in town. Blue Apron is treating our listeners to $30 off their first order if you visit blueapron.com/TMOS. So here's what I want you to do. Check out this week's menu and get your $30 off at blueapron.com/TMOS. Blue Apron is a better way to cook, and we thank you. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Check out Billy Gardell this weekend at Dover
Downs. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Road trip.
Really sweet.
Knock it out.
Really,
he's
really
right
nice
in 97.1 The Beachland right up there.
You know, that's awesome. Yeah, if you're down, especially our listeners down at 97.1 The Beach, check out Billy this weekend at Dover Downs.
I've sent you a few pictures.
They're
you
amazing.
Tell me if that's an
amazing.
SUV or if it's an actual, I don't know what it is. I just know
you're
it's
talking about the car that they were in?
The two cars. Two cars.
It's a crossover, I think.
Oh, it's you know what? Crossover.
Yeah, say, well, that's
it's
what's
a Ferrari,
hot now. Yeah,
who cares?
Yeah.
How much is it? You know what?
It's a Richie Rich car. That's fine. That's all that matters. Look at the castle. Look at the cat. Is that your brother-in-law's house?
No, that's the other father.
What an ugly driveway.
Did you go to that house when you went down to visit them?
No, I drove by that house and I said, that looks like a nice stack of bricks.
How about stack of rocks that were brought in by the slave labor during the medieval times to build
Italian marble?
Yeah. What? No pictures of her up on the parapet?
They worked their asses off. Listen, yes. The fact is, and people can say, you made money, Mike. Yes, I did. I made money. I never made this kind of money, but I made a little money in my lifetime. But I also really love to watch television. What is that point? I don't know.
That was a good segue, culture. Is what
that
it was.
That was the worst segue I've ever
made. No,
it's
really
in my
good.
Life.
I like but money, I like but watching I like television as well.
American greed, I enjoy watching because I sit there and I say, these a-holes had everything. But it wasn't enough.
It wasn't enough. Here it is. The AT&T Pro-Am is a golf tournament that for years has been known for one guy, Bill Murray.
Yes.
Am I right about that?
Of course.
Bill Murray, who is funny. Then for a while, it was Ray Romano.
All right.
Now, what we saw this weekend, I'm watching this tournament.
I actually watched it.
I'm watching a ton of golf. Guess what? There aren't the movie stars and the TV stars. Guess who they've been replaced with?
Who?
The CEOs of the big companies.
Yeah. Oh.
But they deserve it.
Let's watch Charles Schwab and the vice president of Lexus and the CEO of A Place for Mom with his 24-inch waist. That.
Wow.
Excuse me. I was so pissed off. I watched this tournament. And by the way, when you're watching a golf tournament, you want to see who wins, and they're taking an hour and a half to play two holes because they got all these CEOs because Charles Schwab has to pace off his putt for six that he's doing. It was it was incredible. But it is sign of our times, people. It is the sign of our times. The richer get, let me just make it real clear. The richer getting richer, and they don't give a rat's ass.
No.
They don't care that they're on television right now and that Americans like me are going to be jealous and angry that they can't see their favorite sitcom star because I have to watch Richie Richardson make his little par-putt when he's not screwing America out of their health care, for Christ's sake.
And it's diametrically opposed to how that tournament was established back in the day.
It was supposed to be movie stars,
and
Rob.
Fun. It was fun. It was friends of stars.
And Happy Gilmore.
Yes.
And people would, and Adam Sandler were there, and people would play music and bring out their, and they would entertain. And the only reason they got the invite is because they were entertainers.
They were fun.
Or they were friends of Bing who beat his kids. And I know that started out with the whole bad thing. Now it's just Richie Richardson. I couldn't believe the naked ignoring of the fact that these people were playing in this tournament. It was a joke. I'm not entertained. I don't want to see a non-pro if he's like the CEO of Lexus or the vice president of Lexus. I don't want to see that. Yeah. I want to see a celebrity. That's why it's the pro-am.
Mike, I think they've moved the celebrities to what they have. And I saw this on CBS Sports, the network.
Yes.
Where they, and Mike, you know this better than I do, is where they hit the ball for like $1 million and that goes to charity. But the closest to the pin gets $50,000 towards their charity. Have you seen this part?
Unbelievably bad. But not when they're going to put it on television. Do not put. Well, they had Larry Fitzgerald of the football receiving fame, Phoenix Cardinals. Yes. I mean, he was there.
Yeah, but watching that, I said, okay, this is kind of cool. But on television, it's absolutely horrible.
It's the worst. They slowed the tournament down at the end, and it's a beautiful place. It is probably not underrated as the most beautiful location in professional golf. It really is. It's that great.
You
for
put
cameras,
it against Augusta,
but they absolutely, and they put the they put these guys in there. I just would like to. Wouldn't it be fun to watch your favorite? Maybe they can't get enough celebrities. I don't know what the deal is, but or they can't. Who knows what it is? But it was stunning to me.
I'm sorry
that they
had
these, and they used to have a smattering of these guys. And they had the anchor from Brett Baer was there from Fox.
Ah,
that's they had Larry the Cable Guy. I'm trying to count the number.
He's funny.
What about Michael Jordan?
I didn't see Michael Jordan there. And now, by the way, they have to play at a certain level to get to play on the weekend,
right?
Like on Sunday. But it still was just like too many of these guys that are out there going, yeah, here I am, yeah, Mr. Captain. He keeps his handicap at the, and they list their handicap and the exclusive club they belong. And I mean, CBS, is this, you know, I'm going to ask Nancy about it if we ever do get him on the show again.
Ask I'd like to ask Jim golf Nance about is that. Dying. I asked a colleague of mine, I said, hey, is golf dying? And this just happened yesterday, actually, at lunch. And because he had played a round of golf, and he said, no, but think about the idea that someone can get out there for
private golf is dying.
6 or 7 or 8 hours of their day can be chalked off to go play golf.
Like, well, I know that the national consciousness of golf, it declined when Tiger left the game.
Yeah, but private golf is once again, like great restaurants, like going out to a show to see your favorite band, all of these things. Listen, folks, I'm not trying to be a commie. You can call me a commie pinko if you want. No. But the fact is, all of this stuff, and it's happening before your eyes, and you're so busy in your smart devices that you're not paying attention to it. All of the fun stuff that everybody 20 years ago could do.
Right.
Go to a concert. Go to a nice restaurant. All that stuff is now being reserved for a certain select group of people.
Yep.
What's the matter?
I was going to say the upper echelon. It's you. Okay. They're cutting
that's
everyone
the
out.
Same thing you do when we've lost the signal. Yeah.
No, I usually hold up one finger for that. But so, I'm with you. I'm 100% with you.
It's a constant motion. But the fact is,
amazing for a fat guy, isn't it?
It's gravity. I'll do my impression of Rob.
Mike, you didn't let me finish.
Yes,
golf isn't dying as a sport. It's a beautiful sport. It's needed.
Coughed up a lung there. Go ahead.
It actually does great things for the environment. Doesn't let people just develop, especially in areas like our area. But he said for millennials to ask them to walk away for 8 hours from their phones, it's almost impossible.
Torture.
Are you kidding me? Really? It's so healthy to do that.
Like if you live on any type of property that has a golf course,
mm-hmm.
sell it. Because in 10 years, that's going to be hard to sell.
Mm, yeah.
You really believe that?
This is not coming from me. I didn't make that up. I asked. I was answered.
I'll be honest with you. We're not being knocked over by 45-year-olds coming in here right now. It's not happening. You know, like when I was coming in, I was a baby when I joined this place. And, you know, we got a couple of them. But, you know, it's not.
The views are beautiful. You know, you'll never.
But then you see the young guys. I play golf with a lot of young people, including my nephew, who's who's liking the game. I still think when you get to be a certain age and you're athletically inclined and you want a sport that you can grow old playing, there aren't many better than this particular sport.
There's always going to be a need. I guess my logic is this, that if you tell me that millennials right now want everything now, like this, for example, ESPN in itself, right, is fighting this game of they used to be the worldwide leader of sports as far as getting the information first, breaking news, going to SportsCenter. That's where you get all your sports. They're completely revamping the way that they deliver their product because you can get that product in your phone instantly elsewhere.
Mm-hmm. Anywhere. I get my news now from text alerts rather than anything. That's when I get my news. So, and, of course, the Mike O'Mara Show.
So the idea that millennials,
about Alabama today, by the way.
The band or the state?
The state.
Oh, okay.
This works. Mm-hmm. Podcasts work for millennials because they are on the go all the time.
And it's on demand.
Right? It's
on
demand.
That's what we do.
Yeah. Yeah.
We do a podcast and a radio show.
Yes. Right. Yes. But outside of the Casey Dukes of the world, who do you know, Mike, that's younger, that's golfing outside of your nephew?
The guys that frankly that I play with that are golfing are people that are probably within the business of golf.
Yeah.
I have not gotten that. You get the kids that come out and play, you know, so it's something we have to keep
an eye
on. And I think, hold on. I just want to say one thing. I think the key to it, Oscar, is accessibility.
Yeah.
And not
great
accessible.
Wi-Fi on the green.
It's not accessible. And it's in places like where I live down here, the fact is Wi-Fi is to modification of,
let
by the
people
way,
take calls. Golf cart, who cares?
Golf cart companies are already on top of that.
Yeah.
They're already processing that where you can sit there and you can do that while you're waiting, because I will sit there and I'll whip the phone out occasionally if I'm in a really slow round. That's the way. That's the
change
they've got
that
a thing
nature.
In term,
yeah.
But I think it's more important to have accessibility. You were going to say something,
Rob. Could it be that we are getting older as a nation? We're living longer. Are people just waiting longer to play the game?
That could be true also. That could be something.
Because it's not really associated anymore as a youthful sport. It's not anything, you know, like
it's not an old man sport either.
It's never really been a youthful sport, though. It's never been, you know, it's always been kind of the old farts that go out and play golf. That's that's the way it is. But you know, it doesn't help when you're showing, you know, the point I wanted to make, when you're showing it on TV and you could show some celebrities that are out there, it doesn't, you know, when I'm looking at Charles Schwab, richer than Jesus Charles Schwab, that's out there taking 7 hours to putt his ball, you know, I just wanted to see a bolt of lightning come down, or I wanted to see him eaten by a seal. So anyway, that's the way. And they showed those too. We're gonna take a break. When we come back, it's more.
Oh, my God, we've lost Ray Romano.
It's Sports Talk TMOS, and we'll find out who's watching the Olympics. Is anyone? We'll do that when we come back on the Mike O'Meara Show. How you doing, everybody?
Listen up, TMOS listeners. There's a new show coming to the More Network. Are you a guy in your douchebag 30s who watches The Bachelor in your underwear every week? Or maybe you pretend to be a Food Network personality every time you cook dinner? Do you know all the words to Justin Bieber's latest song and secretly like it? Whatever your guilty pleasure is, I want to know about it. Send in your weirdest guilty or not so guilty pleasure to pleasure@mikeomarashow.com and tune in to see if yours is embarrassing enough to make it on air. That's pleasure@mikeomarashow.com, and you never know. People might just have the same weird habits that you do.
Is that pressure?
Pleasure.
Pleasure.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Meara Show.
Diction.
Pressure?
Pressure. Pleasure.
Pleasure.
Pleasures. Pleasure.
Play.
Valentine's
Pleasure.
Day.
That's wonderful. Welcome back to the Mike O'Meara Show, brought to you by Amazon. Everyone knows that Amazon is the best. If you need it, Amazon has it. What is today's Amazon purchase of the day?
In the Spiewak household, we are addicted to what are called Edison bulbs. They look so cool outside when you put them in your porch lights because they look like old-fashioned light bulbs. But if you go to Lowe's, they're $10 a pop.
Oh, yeah.
Amazon, you can get 6 for $18, and that's our buy of the day. You make your house look fantastic, and you save a lot of money.
Amazon really does have everything. You can find those Edison bulbs and more at MikeOmeraShow.com. Thank you very much, Amazon. Welcome back to the Mike O'Meara Show every ball day. Yes, the Olympics, I tuned in last night, and this just seems to be the theme of the weekend. I was trying to watch a little bit of the, what did they show me? They had a highlight of the moguls, or maybe the end of the moguls that I saw.
The bumpies?
The bumpies, ski bumps.
They had the men's figure skating with a kid that looked like he was 8 years old.
Johnny Rippon?
Was the Russian. Johnny Rippon's the 28-year-old.
Oh, he's fantastic.
He's I think he might be doing well, but... But once again, it just was, we'll be right back. We'll be right back. I just would like
the time difference.
The time difference ruins the Olympics.
NBC really takes advantage of it.
Just like the World Cup or anything else, I can, again, this phone tells me who won already.
Right.
Why am I going to watch? And by the way, look, I love the idea that the Winter Olympics and for the most part, we dominate as the U.S., right? Especially in the fun sports.
Right.
You got the half pub, you got the flying tomatoes, 31.
I like downhill skiing. I like alpine events. That's my favorite part.
Right? But really, the most boring Olympics of all of them, because summer is so much better, right? As far as...
No, you mean you think as far as the Olympics, Summer Olympics are better?
Yes.
Oh, I disagree.
See, I love the Winter Olympics much better.
Really?
Than the
yeah.
Olympics. Yes.
Oh, I saw something that looked
There's so much more chance for injury.
Like ski dance. Ski dancing.
All right, let me give you... I like skating. Yeah. I like hockey. I like bobsledding. I like downhill skiing. I like the downhill slalom.
All right.
I like speed skating.
You're right.
I like short track speed skating. I like the luge.
Luge. Okay.
And what else am I leaving out? I love the half pipe.
Yes.
With like Sean White. I mean, that is so cool. It's so fast. It's so exciting.
I take it all back. You guys are right.
Yeah.
The half pipe.
The programming, though, sucks. There's so many commercials.
Yeah. Sean White, 50 years old yet?
Sean White just turned 80. He looks great.
31. Yeah. 31. He's 31. I looked it up. Really? I said, how are his knees holding up?
With all he's been doing it a long time.
A lot of grass.
But he's been doing it since he was a kid, right?
Yeah. Right. And I guess Katie Couric got in trouble when she was doing the opening ceremonies. I read this online.
I have
where
this
she
tape.
Was she was talking about the Netherlands.
Yeah. Can I play
the
this?
The Netherlands is funny. Listen to what Katie says when the Netherlands athletes are coming in.
Next is the Netherlands. It's probably not a news flash to tell you the Dutch are really, really good at speed skating. All but five of the 110 medals they've won have been on the speed skating oval. Now, why are they so good, you may be asking yourselves? Because skating is an important mode of transportation in a city like Amsterdam, which sits at sea level. As you all know, it has lots of canals that can freeze in the winter. So for as long as those canals have existed, the Dutch have skated on them to get from place to place, to race each other, and also to have fun.
And also to have fun. That sounds to me like someone made that up.
Well, now, hold on a second. So Katie's taking the heat, but that's a Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade comment. Somebody wrote that. For her to read. And the Dutch are going nuts about it because they are truly trolling her by saying, yes, we do that. And that's why when they're in the summertime, we swim to do our swim to the grocery store. It's just, they're real snarky. They've been taking shots at the U.S. anyway. And it's kind of funny. But I think if you go back to the history of the Netherlands, I think you probably had skating competitions.
Probably. But not currently.
But currently, I think with the climate, you've probably not got that. They don't freeze every year.
No, and they have a true national emphasis on winter sports. It's a big deal over there.
It's a big deal, and they are prolific and successful in speed skating events. They're known for that. The fact is, though, one of the other trolls said, yes, we're going to skate to our job at the windmill where we put our wooden shoes on. It was kind of funny because Americans are getting a rap.
The Netherlands that have the most Teslas per capita because they wanted as many electric cars.
Probably.
Right?
Mm. Probably.
They're on skates.
But it's a junior producer saying this is what used to happen, and she read it that way.
Yeah. Yeah. But
you had to come up with something.
Americans.
They have that huge, and there's, Mike, so much pageantry. Could you have more pageantry than you did on Friday night? And you have to have something pithy to say about every country.
They
started making it up.
Those opening ceremonies sucked.
Well, you're right, they did, but such pageantry.
Yeah. How about, she could have done better by saying they skate really fast because they love their Amstel Light. But the comments were funny because the Netherlands, such a cocky country and such a confident country that they say, you don't understand. Yeah, that's right. We skate wherever we have to go. That's our primary mode of transportation, you stupid lady anchor lady.
Well, at least she didn't say, of course, in the summer months, they put on roller skates. Thank you, Mike Tirico.
Yes, in the summer months, they use paddle boats to get to work. That's how they do that with the Netherlands. I'm just not tracking yet with the Olympics, because my events that I care about are, they did a highlight reel with this incredible cross country skiing race, and I wish I'd seen the entire thing. I guess it was during the day where they had this collision where a guy got knocked down at the beginning of the race. The entire field passed him. I think he was a Norwegian.
I think so.
And by the time the race was, he made up all the ground and then won the race. This Herculean.
Wow. Yeah, but they did the entire, it was like a 4-hour event that they did in 70 seconds. And I was like, what? It's oh no. I mean, if you're going to have that kind of story, at least give them some time to it.
But I will tell you, Mike Tirico, the gold standard. There are a few better and more steady than Mike Tirico.
Also,
I like more Mike Tirico, and I like Johnny Weir's hair.
That to he's the classic.
I think that Hunger Games hairdo that he's wearing right now for that is own it, Johnny.
This is what's also weird.
Where in the world is he?
When I watch Olympics now, I know that he's the worst and he was an animal and a predator, but it's weird not seeing him.
Yes. I miss
it. It's weird not,
seeing Bob Costas with his pink eye, too. I want to see that pink eye.
It's just weird not seeing him at all.
Yeah.
Is Costas there, Rob?
Costas is not there.
Hoda's there.
Of course, Hoda's there.
Hoda's there.
Yeah.
She's excited. She got the
Hoda skated there. That's how she got there.
All right, we have to take a break. But that's our little review of the Olympics. And so far, let me see. The leader, Norway, with 2,000 medals.
That's right.
Leading the pack. Very good.
I think the U.S. a lot of bronze.
Yeah, a lot of bronze. Yeah. And, I look forward to the downhill skiing, all right?
The events seem to get better as it goes, right? I mean, absolutely. They seem to build up to the more exciting events. So that's
big,
good.
Big fun. And I like the women's figure skating. And, you know, and lots of good stuff to come. I'll watch a little of it, but it's over there. It's happening like at 2 o'clock in the morning.
The Olympics are already over. They put the torch out 10 minutes ago.
At 2:30, if you wake up, you get the live feed on NBC.
Mike O'Mara and Billy Gardell in the luge, the men's luge competition. We'll take a break.
They've
stopped. More fun on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Informed, intelligent, irreverent. Political Persuasions.
Hey, it's Chris Freitz of Political Persuasions. This week on the show, more White House chaos. Is it time to deep six Nancy Pelosi? And Donald Trump loves a parade. Me and Mike talk about it all.
You can download Political Persuasions on iTunes, MikeO'MaraShow.com, Stitcher, and wherever fine podcasts are found.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by our TMOS bonus packages. It's the worst time of the year.
Ugh.
The holidays are over. The weather is disgusting. The flu is everywhere. And teenagers keep insulting your Uber rating. What will you do to cheer yourself up? Well, you drain on humanity. How about the TMOS bonus show? The bonus show is an extra hour of TMOS comedy each and every week that will change you from a sad dad to a happy pappy. Just go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click the bonus banner, and it makes a great gift. Spread some cheer by giving back bonus show style. You'll get access or bonus house style. Are you getting early Alzheimer's? I'm curious about
is
that.
That's odd. I did not see that. I'm so sorry.
I know you're not. I'm wondering whether you're getting... Your typos are becoming...
It's called alcoholism.
You'll get access to all our bonus content.
Guilty!
And you'll be helping TMOS. Let us cheer you up for just pennies a day. So please, go screw yourself. Oops. I meant quit sucking. And we thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you!
News!
Mini Montmere. If it wasn't already clear to you that we're never getting a Sex in the City 3, oh my God.
What?
Well, it should be now. Kim Cattrall seriously unloaded on Sarah Jessica Parker on Instagram this weekend. It all started when Kim got blamed for being the one keeping the movie from being made. Then Kim's brother was found dead. And Sarah tried to reach out to her. On Saturday, Kim posted a message telling Sarah, quote, "I don't need your love and support." But the caption was even worse. She said, quote, "Your continuous reaching out is a painful reminder of how cruel you really were then and now."
Yikes.
Oh, man.
This, and she goes on, "Let me make this very clear, if I haven't already. You are not my family. You are not my friend. So I'm writing to tell you one last time to stop exploiting our tragedy in order to restore your nice girl persona."
Wow. Damn. Wow, that went well.
All from a mannequin.
Yeah.
She all posted the link to a New York Post article that claims Sarah formed a kind of a mean girls clique with the other girls on the set and left Kim out. It's worthwhile to... That's got to be more than that.
Yeah, though. there has to be something.
Really, there's got to be something more. It's worthwhile to note that when Cynthia Nixon offered her condolences, Kim responded, quote, "Hearing your voice meant so much to me. Thank you for reaching out." I don't know what's going on. That's Catty McCatty right there. You know, they were successful.
I think
lots of money coming in on that, right?
Maybe, you know? She wants a little attention.
I mean, really, it's terrible.
You know,
it's
what's interesting is family dynamics of like super shows, right? Right. You know, we're radiophiles. I briefly talked to Eric Nagel, E-Rock, from they used to be the executive producer of Opie and Anthony.
Yes.
And I said, why did they self-destruct? Mm-hmm. Like, why? Briefly asked, and I was like, "And I'm on pills. Let's talk about this." And he goes, "Hey, probably not the right time to tell you, and it's offline." But he said, sometimes people stop communicating. They just they stop being friends. They stop being colleagues. It just it like outside of where they are working.
And also, I guess that a lack of communication can foster paranoia.
Right?
Yeah.
Pretty crazy.
Well, look, I've got people that if I saw in a restaurant, I'd walk up and hug and say hello to. And I've got people that I probably would walk up and greet. And, you know, as far as coworkers are concerned, sometimes you move on and mm-hmm. you just have to. I mean, it's the way it works. It's not always pleasant. It's a tough thing in the biz of show business to, you know, to maintain relationships all the time. It is. It's tougher, I think, than other jobs, but it happens and you move on. It just seems to me that, when you come out and you slam somebody in public all the time like this, you're negating the fact that you were there, you made some money off of it, you made a living.
Everybody was there.
That's true.
It. Everybody was there. It's kind of interesting. Speaking of moving on, Omarosa had to leave the Celebrity Big Brother house Saturday to be treated for asthma that was brought on by bowling. Oh, my God.
I'll give you asthma.
It wasn't just regular bowling, though. Omarosa had to compete in a challenge against Marissa Jarrett Winokur. Is that the right pronunciation of her name?
It doesn't matter.
I don't know, these C-level celebrities. Where they would spin around and get dizzy, then bowl. The challenge sent Omarosa running for her inhaler and then for help from the medic. Mm-hmm. Oh, God. Drama. But she was back at the house by Saturday night. She said, quote, "We were able to get my asthma under control. It was a really scary experience. Thank God I'm back in the game."
Oh, thank God.
Drama, drama, drama.
I kind of want to watch now.
Not me.
I'm kind of curious about it. I might look in. Carrie Underwood posted a photo where she's working out in what appears to be her home gym, but she's looking away from the camera, so you only see the right side of her face. She's such a beautiful girl that I'm fascinated by this accident she had where apparently she messed up her face. I hope it's not that bad. I like Carrie Underwood. By the way, if you want religious music, okay, if you want a religious spiritual song, How Great Thou Art by Carrie Underwood. Look it up on YouTube. There is nothing better. It is the greatest.
It's just
spiritual
a shame that the video
ever.
That accompanies it, she looks just like Tommy Lee Jones's Two-Face.
Stop it, please. She's clearly not ready to go public. She captioned the photo, "My boys make workouts fun and a bit less productive, but that's okay." Her 2-year-old son, Isaiah, she's very religious, is next to her, imitating her pose. "We're not calling Carrie out. If anything, they respect that she needs time. This shows how difficult it must be to deal with this." So she's got something. I don't know how bad it
was. As long as she can sing.
And flip that coin.
Right? Yeah, I think maybe you don't make that big a deal of it. We'll have to wait and see. But, because I'm an American, I sure am curious.
I sure want to see that face.
Lucky Charms. This is a huge story. This is probably, you might want to write this down because this might be the most important news story of the day. Mm-hmm. Lucky Charms just announced that they are retiring one of their marshmallows.
What?
This spring.
What?
Yes, I'm sorry.
No!
Don't worry. It's not the one you remember from your childhood, which is good. I don't have any space outrage, spare outrage here. Anyway, I should write my own material. Did I hit that? Or
no, I did. It's the theme from Cereal.
A lot of people are wondering which marshmallow would be retired by Lucky Charms. Some said it might be the Shamrock. We all know that's completely ridiculous. General Mills just revealed that they're killing off the yellow and orange hourglass marshmallow. It's only been a part of Lucky Charms since 2008, and it was the first marshmallow. I'll try to read this story. I don't care.
Is Lucky Charms enough. Vegan?
No, I don't think they are. I don't think they are, but Frosted Flakes are.
Oh, that's a good cereal.
Yeah, great trip. If you're planning to get married on Wednesday for Valentine's Day, spoiler alert, according to a new study out of Australia, couples who get married on Valentine's Day are 37% more likely to wind up getting divorced.
Isn't that right, Johnny Midnight?
And usually, really? Did he get married on Valentine's Day?
And it lasted, 7 years? I guess, yeah.
Usually it happens pretty quickly. They're 45% less likely than other couples to make it to 3 years. The researchers think it's because a lot of people rush into Valentine's weddings. Quote, "The chance to marry on a special date could lead to quicker and lower quality marriage commitments."
Really?
Yes.
It's been okay for Carrie and I. We married on Columbus Day. No problem so far.
You really?
Yeah, October 12th.
That's... any particular reason why you wanted to do that?
Yeah, that was the one Saturday that was free at the rehearsal space.
Okay,
the reception space.
Nothing if not practical. And now a little something, ladies and gentlemen. I love this story.
Good.
I truly do. An Alabama man allegedly beat his roommate after discovering that the victim had failed to properly seal a box of Cap'n Crunch cereal, which had grown stale, police report.
The worst.
Dwayne Barry Smith, 52, was arrested Friday for domestic violence following a confrontation with his roommate outside Tuscaloosa. According to police, the victim said that Smith became enraged upon discovering the stale cereal and blamed his roommate for failing to keep the Cap'n Crunch fresh.
Failure.
Smith was especially perturbed since he's missing teeth and had difficulty consuming the stale cereal. At one point, Smith demanded that his roommate remove his dentures so that he could experience how hard it was to consume the Cap'n Crunch.
Oh.
When the man refused, Smith allegedly began striking the victim with an electrical cord.
Oh,
you see, stale Cap'n Crunch gets chewy when you leave it out, and
yes,
that's a nightmare if you don't have any teeth. The roommate would have known that if he lived a bit closer to the Florida border. There you go, everybody. Thank you. I knew that.
It's, you know, all gums.
Doesn't get more crunchy, it gets more chewy.
Chewy's
no
good.
Tough when you don't have no teeth.
Now,
okay?
Come in to get this electrical cord.
Get the comb, beat you with the electrical cord, stale crunch. Thank you. We'll take a break, come back with the Audio Vault and Rob Spiewak right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Look, up in the sky, it's a bird.
It's a plane.
No, it's Dan the Fan Man, back with the best prices at the Dan the Fan Man Fanporium. At our numerous locations in Fanassus, Washington, Fan DC, and Fanganistan. Fans so great, you'll be dancing the Dan the Fan Man Can-Can. And don't worry, if you require a fan for the tropics, I speak Spanish.
Sí, por favor, cumple una exhibición de bonas para que pueda dejar de hacer estos promos para el hombre Blanco.
Remember, if you need a fan, I'm your man. Unfortunately, the Mike O'Mara bonus show is only available in English, but it's always available at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Danny boy.
Oh my God.
Happy.
That makes me grin to the point of pain. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Hear ye! Hear ye! Introducing... Oh, hold on. I got to get it ready.
Here, oh, please do.
Introducing the latest TM Soft creation.
PlayaPod.
Available for Android.
And iOS.
PlayaPod is the best way to listen to any podcast.
That's right, Mike.
PlayaPod allows you to easily search and subscribe to all your favorite podcasts. Plus, it has cross-platform syncing, so you can grab any device and continue playback right where you left off. And PlayaPod is also the only app that displays exactly what you've listened to or skipped over, and with time-coded bookmarks, you can quickly replay your biggest laughs and your favorite moments. But the best part about PlayaPod, it's free.
And more good news.
TM Soft is hard at work.
Mike the Fan Man.
Mike the Fan Man. TM Soft is hard at work. TM Soft is hard at work updating all of the TMOS apps, so they will soon be powered by PlayaPod.
This app is scary.
Fall into a hole.
Sorry. I just had a little fun with that. Oh, I gotta use this one.
So what are you waiting for?
Just visit PlayaPod.com or search for PlayaPod on the Apple App Store or Google Play Store. Again, that's PlayaPod by TM Soft. Download it for free. Download it today. Sorry about that.
That's
I got
fine.
Carried away. Let's open up the audio vault for today. This is February 12th, Monday. Take it away, Rob Spiewak.
So the Olympics are in Korea, South Korea,
yeah,
right?
South Korea.
And do you notice what song they played when the American team came out? It just seemed like more than an accident to me that when the American team did the Parade of Nations on Friday night,
and here they come.
They played Gangnam Style.
Is it Gangnam?
Gangnam.
Gangnam, right?
Gangnam Style by
Psy. That was a big story. That was they had an advanced story on that they were going to play that.
Oh, I didn't know. I loved it. I thought it was
great. They're not the only country that did Gangnam Style.
Because they had a loop. I think they had a loop of music that they did, but they sure timed it well.
I thought that was cool. Mm-hmm. But people were upset for some reason.
Why would they be? I don't know. I just thought it was just sort of coincidental.
Because we are nice and caring people.
Yeah, she was there.
Yeah. That's Mrs. Mike Pence.
I don't. Again, we both have different news feeds. We both watch different shows. But
right.
It was all about why wasn't there an American or a country artist or what? I'm like, who cares?
They get to choose the music.
About the Kim Jong-un's sister from North Korea, who represented the North Korean delegation, and they were talking about what a great impression she made. Mm-hmm. But I will tell you, she scared the crap
me
out
too.
Of me.
Me
too. She looked like a woman who would be very, very. Did you say she's kind of hot, sexy. Pony? Okay. Well, yeah. I mean,
they all can't be dolls, all right?
No.
Yeah. But she had that look that she doesn't look like she would mind watching like one of her uncles get blown away by an anti-aircraft.
Also, that's true. Yeah. If we're being honest, how dare the Secret Service, and I know we have a lot of good Secret Service agents that listen to the show,
mm-hmm.
let her stand behind Pence.
Yeah, that's kind of weird. That is kind of like, weird.
Because at the very least, yeah. she could have got him with a hat pin.
Like Mata Hari.
Exactly. Yeah. You probably bailed with the opening ceremonies about the same time I did because you were on cold medicine.
Yes.
There was one moment that made me think of you, though, is they had a selection of K-pop stars, Korean pop stars, sing one of your favorite songs. I kind of liked this.
Imagine by John Lennon, one of my all-time favorites.
So it made me think of you. So that was kind of a nice nod to America because they got to choose all the music. Cool, yeah. So it was a good moment.
We also buy a lot of Samsung.
Now, speaking of great musical pieces, this was a video I saw on YouTube over the weekend that I thought was remarkable. We've all stayed in what they are. They're called atrium hotels, where the center of the hotel
yes.
is empty and the rooms sort of encircle the entire thing. So it opens to a huge lobby, right? This happened in Kentucky. The national choir championships of kids or the high school choir champ were all staying at this hotel, and a huge text chain made it.
Was that the title of the event, the National Choir Championship of Kids?
Yes. And it was all in lowercase letters and written in crayons, and the K was backwards. This National Choir Championship, all these kids came out of their room and faced the inside of the atrium. There were 650 of them. And they all sang the national anthem. And because of the acoustics of the Atrium Hotel, tell me this doesn't make the hair on the back of your neck stand up.
Were they on the balconies?
Yes. All facing the atrium. How cool is this?
One balcony or were they on multiple levels?
The entire hotel was 650 kids.
Wow.
So cool.
Imagine being in that hotel and hearing that.
And the thing is the guy that taped it had no idea it was about to happen. He just heard like a rustling outside start to happen. He went out to tape it. So this is a total cold open for him. He goes out there and this begins. Anyway, you can find it on you can see it on YouTube. It
choir
is amazing.
Nerds. Choir nerds. Love them.
Yeah.
Choir nerds rock. Fantastic.
They got
job.
The birdie voice. The next episode of David Letterman's My Next Guest Needs No Introduction dropped on Netflix. It was George Clooney, and George Clooney told a great story about a visit. You know, he does a lot of charity stuff that he doesn't talk all about.
Yeah.
And George Clooney made a trip to war-torn Sudan, and Letterman proves himself still a great ball buster after all these years.
That drive up the road where they pull you over and a 14-year-old kid pulls you out of the car and he's got an AK-47 and he makes you kneel down and puts a gun to your chest. And it's not because they're Northern Sudanese, you know, militia. It's because they want your truck and they want all the things in it. And there's nobody around. And so many times, that's how you get killed.
It's not because he saw Batman.
You know, if he'd seen Batman, he would have shot me right there. Right on the spot. He'd been like, I know you.
No.
You put nipples on the bat suit.
Okay.
Great interview. Check it out. And let us close with this. One of the best things about the Olympics this weekend, Leslie Jones, who is one of my favorite things on Saturday Night Live. She is fearless. She went on social media and just did little short commentaries about the Olympics. Here's Leslie Jones talking about the figure skating outfits.
Okay, see, y'all coming out now, you know what I'm saying, with these outfits. Look at the dude's back out, dude. I'm saying that he's killing the game right now. He's killing the game. And you know how he's standing? He's standing like I feel when I get my nails and my feet done and I want to stand outside of Blooming Nails and pose with my feet and my nails. I was like, look, they match.
So check her out. She is a panic. That's your Magic Audio Vault. Have a great Monday, everybody.
That's it. We want to thank Billy Gardell Mike and Molly, a very funny guy who will be at Dover Downs Hotel and Casino this Friday night at 9 o'clock. Get your tickets at DoverDowns.com. Thank you, Billy. And Billy said, remember, we'll hold him to that.
Yes.
Love to have him come in and panel with us when he comes back to D.C. in the fall. That would be great. That's it. Thanks for joining us for another episode of TMOS. Don't forget to update our brand new app today and unlock the live 24/7 TMOS stream. All messages for our weekly mailbag, which we're going to do tomorrow.
Yes.
Can be sent to Rob tonight with two B's.
Later the better.
Very late. 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning. MikeOMaraShow.com. That's where you send that. Our mailing address, TMOS Box 32101, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thanks for listening. And join us again for the best part of your day, the Mike O'Mara Show. Bye-bye, everybody.
So long. Ciao, ciao.
Before you go, please make a mental note. Today's show was made possible by the TMOS bonus packages. You can secure yours right now by going to MikeOMaraShow.com and clicking on the red bonus banner. Buy it or give it. Either way, you're helping out TMOS, and that's a good thing. Thank you, and go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.